Okay, are you ready to make a few notes? You have a little piece of paper, and you can. Some of you can do this mentally in your head, and you may have your phone. For me, I generally have to write them down. Are you familiar with the term first love? Yeah? Yeah, some of you just went, oh, yes, and some of you went, oh, no. I remember mine. Do you remember your first love? Mm-hmm. First grade? Was it first grade? Was it sixth grade? Was it high school? Was it adulthood? Was it all of the above? Did it happen every time? Did it happen in every grade? Yeah. Happens. How many first loves did you have? Okay, that's what the little piece of paper is for. As we were talking just then, if those first loves came to mind, and if you're sitting next to your spouse and all that kind of stuff, this is not about any natural connection to any of those first loves. This is about a spiritual dynamic that we're talking about. So if you want to, that jumped up in you, if a face came to mind, a name came to mind, maybe even a circumstance, write that down. Make a little note. We're going to come back to that, okay? We're going to come back to that. Oh, I'm getting smart. I put a little note to read something. I oftentimes just pass right over it. So what is your story about your first love? For many of us, it could be when we first saw our wife or our husband. It could be the first time we thought we saw our wife or our husband. And sometimes that may have been even when we were 7 years old, somewhere in that age. As we mentioned, this is a fifth class of the prophetic training, so I'm going to go through and do a quick review for those of you prophetic class. It's a lot of information. It's not very detailed. It's just the highlights of what we talked about, because I want to kind of bring you up to speed where we are and give you a foundation. There will be some scriptures, but also a foundation of how we built this to arrive at where we're going at the end of the evening. So we've had four previous classes. In the first class, we looked at what Jesus did that allows us to draw near to Him. In fact, to step into His very presence. We looked at He was the veil that separated us from the presence of God. We now have access to Him anytime. Hebrews 10:19. Further, He revealed Himself as the door, and we can step through that door. Revelations 4:1-2 tells us that. It's a scripture that we're all very familiar with. Those are a couple of the things we talked about early on in our prophetic class, about the fact that He tore the veil and we have free access. We go through the body of Jesus, and He is a door. He talks about Himself being a door all through scriptures. We also talked about going with purpose and intentionality behind that veil and through that door. I like that. I don't know if you've given any thought to that. Maybe you have. Maybe some of you do that. Some of you understand that concept. I didn't for many, many years. But that's why He made the way. That's why He told us. That's why He did what He did. That's why He gave us free access. It's because He expects us to step into Him, to go through that veil into the very presence of where He is, His very presence. And we do that. We do that often. We do it regularly. If you aren't aware, when you're standing here worshiping, many times you find yourself, you have stepped into the very presence of God. We sing a lot of songs about, you know, God come down and all that kind of stuff, and I think He does. But there are times, to us, I believe we actually step into Him. We step behind that veil. We go through that door. It's a different place. Also, I love this. Jesus is the good shepherd, but He is also the sheep gate, another door that allows us to access and enter into the presence of God. Now, if you want to do an interesting little study, if you haven't done that, just take some time and go read about what that meant, the sheep gate and the gate next to the temple, and how they treated the sheep and everything that had to take place for them to use them. That's a wonderful picture of what has taken place, what Jesus has done for us as he has become, as a good shepherd, he has become the sheep gate. It's really an amazing, amazing study. So we're still reviewing from the previous classes. And we talked about going with purpose and intentionality behind the veil and the door. There's another scripture, 2 Corinthians 12, 2 and 4. We quote this one quite often. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. God was caught up to the third heaven, and now such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise. Ephesians 2, 6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So there's a lot of discussion about doors, about veils, about going into Jesus, about where we're seated in heavenly places. Our training, in the prophetic training, we kind of built on that understanding, that we can draw near to him, that we can step into his presence. So why did we do that? There were five areas I felt the Lord wanted us to look at to strengthen our relationship with him and also allow us to grow in the prophetic. Now remember, it wasn't about learning how to prophesy better. It wasn't about a word of knowledge. All of those are very important, and we all want to do that in a greater degree. We all want to be a greater avenue for the release of the glory of God in our life. But for this particular training, there were five areas that we concentrated on, and it was prayer, purpose, relationship, revelation, and restoration. And I'm finally getting to the point where I don't care that I can't see, and I don't care that I don't phone up like this. And so I turned 60 recently. I think a lot of things in my thinking changed whenever that happened. So, and when we're in public and I'm doing this, my wife is, put your hands down, get your glasses. It's like, no, I want to look. So these five areas, prayer, purpose, relationship, revelation, and restoration. We talked about stepping into the Lord, stepping into a different place, going behind the veil. We talked about the courts of heaven. We just discussed that a little bit about how we are learning. And the revelation is landing on the earth these days about praying in the courts of heaven. We talked about being able to access the Spirit of God, the presence of God, going to where he is, and being able to look at the things he has written about us from the foundation of the earth. Jesus said, I've come to do the things that were written of me in my scroll. Didn't he? He said that. Guess what? I believe you can do that too. I believe you can actually do that. That you can go find out what your purpose is, why you're here. Relationship. Oh my. That study on the sheepfold and him being a shepherd. And whenever we go into him, whenever we step through that door, and the way the shepherd fellowships with us in that period of time, in that encounter. That, what is the word there? My sheep know me, and they know my voice. When you start looking at that word know, oh my gosh, it is such a rich, rich word about our relationship with him. It's not the kind of mindful knowing that we may think about initially. It's much more, it's like the shepherd goes and lays down with the sheep. So much so that they pick up the smell of the sheep. And the sheep, they're with the shepherd so often that just the sound of his voice, they know exactly who he is. And so the relationship of stepping into Jesus, of going behind the veil. Now, for me, again, this is my journey, and some of you, everyone has a different journey. But for many years, I understood that I was seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I understood that the veil had been torn. I understood that the scriptures talk about stepping into a door. And but I can only tell you that as I have grown in my relationship with Jesus, there has been a change. There has been a revelation that has taken place in my life. It could be similar to, for me it was. I was not born again. Someone told me about being born again. I was born again. I was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Someone told me about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I became baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that was available to me when I got saved. Someone told me about speaking in tongues. I didn't speak in tongues, but it was available to me. So eventually, I walked into Jesus long enough. I got to know him well enough through his word and through our relationship that, whoa, I can speak in tongues. Woohoo! It's the best thing ever. That happens throughout our Christian life. You may read your Bible constantly and all the time, and if you're like me, I read over scriptures, and I just read and I kind of went, I don't know what that means, so I just kept reading. You know, I didn't have the energy, the desire to go root it out, and even sometimes whenever I would study, it was like to use a biblical expression, I was eating from the tree of knowledge. I was pursuing knowledge. I was getting information. But it wasn't becoming life to me. It wasn't becoming revelation to me. And that's the same thing about this veil being torn and the fact that we can step into Jesus. You know, there's some scriptures that talk about There's some scriptures out there where Jesus, he was standing on the earth and he was talking to other men standing on the earth. And he says, Father, I pray that they would be with me where I am. And so that tells me that not only was he a man standing on the earth, but he was a man that knew his position in the Spirit and where he was. And that to me has been an unfolding revelation for the last 5 or 6 years. Is that I am a man standing on the earth. You can see me. This is not where I live my life now. I live my life there. I live my life there. And I'm suggesting to each one of us that it is for all of us. That is for all of us. So prayer, purpose, relationship, revelation. I kind of looked up that word. It really excited me. It had something to do with seeing and hearing and learning something that you didn't previously know. I like that. Jesus is amazing. He is. When you look into Jesus, I mean, you look in the Word, and I mean, it's got all. It's like all this, but I mean, it says if there was a book written about everything he did, the whole earth would not contain it. I believe that, and beyond. He is infinite. So there is so much about him we don't know. So much yet to discover. And restoration, that was the last one. Now, we discussed how our communication with God and with man was sometimes difficult. Sometimes there seemed to be other voices and other influences. Now remember, we're talking about a prophetic training. We're talking about, for the most part, we use this. We prophesy, we have a word of knowledge, we share a word of wisdom. We have dreams, all of those revelatory activities that we engage with. we do two things. We do many things. But in that scenario, we have a relationship with God. And I'm pointing up just because that's the way we kind of think about it. I mean, really, he's here. You know, he's here. But I'm pointing up just because it, you know, that makes it easy for people to grasp. So we have a relationship with God, and we have a relationship with man. And both of those methods of communication are necessary to be able to represent Christ, to be able to stand and say, hey, you know, and prophesy, or have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. The mechanics of how all that happens, we may talk about a little bit in a minute, but just suffice it to say, it's communication with God, it's communication with man. Now, in the maturing stage, which this was supposed to be an advanced prophetic class, came a few years ago, and we taught a kind of a basic prophetic class, and I know a lot of people have been stepping out on that and growing in their gifting, and I'm very excited about that. I sat in the prophetic room a few weeks ago, and they blew me away. It was all really good, and I listened to it again the other day, and I was just blown away by the insight and by the accuracy of the words of knowledge that were given, and the prophecies that were given. I'm hopeful. I could see how those were functioning in my life, and that's the direction I'm going. But we could see how there might be other voices and other influences. Let's see what's next. Okay. Prayer, purpose, relationship, revelation, and restoration. So what we did, what I felt the Lord wanted us to do, was to talk about the revelation part. I'd be great if we could talk some more about the prayer and the purpose, relationship, and revelation. Some amazing stuff going on and that Jesus is doing that's landing on the earth, that people are beginning to become public with, that they've been living their lives hidden for years, a decade maybe sometimes, maybe two. But now the Lord is calling them out and calling them public. And so the revelation is just abounding in many of these areas. But for us, we're talking about restoration, and everybody needs restoration. Woohoo! I need restoration. I'm getting to the point in my life where I get excited about it. I haven't always been excited about it. And I'm sure there are some things left in me that when God presses on them, I'm going to not be so excited about it. But it's kind of at the point now where I'm kind of saying, okay, Lord, you know, I'm not resisting. I'm not willing to fight with him about those kinds of things. So, okay, this is originally, this was a chart that built. So we're going to start off with the top one. Also, as a review in our class, remember, we talked about how we are a three-part being, much like three parts of the temple. Okay, spirit, soul, and body, outer court, inner court, holy of holies. We talked about the restoration of our spirit, soul, and body, the restoration part of the prophetic ministry, about how each of these three parts access through gates. And I'm using that term. It's a scriptural term. It's access through these gates. For example, you can see on our body, I have nose, ear, there's eyes, there's smell. So that's how our body interacts, right? You see, hear, taste, smell. Same with our soul. There's our mind, emotions, and some of the others are there. And by the way, this list is not, it's not pulled out of Scripture that I can see. I can't tell you that this comes out of Scripture. It's revelation. If you go and you look at different biblical teachings and biblical scholars, some people will have different lists, but they all pretty much center around the same thing. You talk to some psychologists, and they will kind of give you the same idea. And so it's in general, this is an accepted a diagram of how we interact in our three-part being. And if you want to call them something else, it's okay. It's okay, because this is my journey, and you have your journey. And so when you talk to Holy Spirit, he may call it a different name. That's perfect. I love that. He's a very personal God. We talked about how our communication with God and man finds its way through some or all of these gates, and how certain influences can often find their way into these gates. Now, remember, we're born. You know, we're born, we're smacked, we cry. And from that moment on until the time you are born again, everything is coming into you through one of those gates. Everything. You see it, you hear it, You smell it, you taste it, it hits your emotions, it wraps around in your mind. Everything is coming in. Your spirit's not alive. I mean, it's alive, but it's not alive unto God. And so everything comes in. So for me, there was 21 years of that. And then all of a sudden, poof, I get born again. This was another chart that builds. But when the Spirit of God comes and takes up residence in our spirit, our innermost being, remember Revelation 3:20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To paraphrase, I will make him to share in my most intimate and blissful contact. Scriptures also tell us in John 7 that from our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So the Spirit of God comes and takes up residence inside of our spirit, and we come alive unto God. So this is our fifth class. This class is discuss and pray. Eight of first level. I'm going to go back here for a second. You see, we have body, soul, and spirit, and the glory of God. Here in the middle, we have our spirit, the fear of God, intuition, revelation, worship, hope, faith, reverence, prayer. Those are gates into our spirit. You might have some different ones that you want to name. So on our fifth class, those are the body, soul, and spirit gates. But I want to talk about the gate between our spirit and the Spirit of God. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about how the Lord speaks to us? And I know we have. That's sort of a rhetorical question. I mean, I've always kind of go, Lord, are you talking? You know, when really it's almost like, Lord, are you talking? It's that union of His Spirit and our spirit. That place of the most intimate place between Jesus and me. That's what I want to talk about. That's what I feel like the Lord is wanting us to talk about. So that we call that the gate of first love. You can call it however you would like, but we call it the gate of first love. This is where the glory of God that flows out of our life begins and touches all the other parts of our being. This is the place of connection and intimacy with the Spirit of God, that gate of first love. I should have read my notes. So my journey with this gate of first love. Earlier I asked you about, do you know what first love is and do you remember? And a few of you responded with a ooh or an ah and oh heck and all that kind of stuff. My journey with first love, I'm looking at the time. In the beginning, I knew that I was loved and I knew that God loved me after I was born again. The experience of his love had so many wonderful things to say, both in his word and also without words about me. About him, about us, as he and I got to know each other. I can remember after I got over all the crying and snotting and all that good stuff, I can remember going home and it was like somebody had kind of put a water hose inside of me and just flushed me out. It was so refreshing, so amazing, so wonderful. And I knew he loved me. I knew all those things. But as time went on, that seemed to change until it got to the point where as soon as I determined to have a time with the Lord, or respond to an invitation from the Lord, it seems like there were thoughts and distractions that would immediately come to distract me from that time with Him. Has that happened to anybody? Yeah. Accusations would come, memories would come, old conversations, old events. Suddenly, without notice, my desire and attention is no longer on Him, but on something else or someone else. The desire to be with Him is outvoted. The presence of the Lord leaves. Often, I can't even shake the thought or the image. I may even go to do or to deal with what interrupted me, but find it unfulfilling. That's been my journey, 30 years worth. And I'm still wrestling with that at times. But I am working through it, and it is changing dramatically in my life. This is kind of what my gate of first love looks like. Can you tell what that is? That is a river with a log jam. As I have been encountering the Lord, He and I have been meeting at His invitation, and we've been looking at this gate, as He and I have been talking about it and experiencing it together, I'm finding that there was a lot of logs. There were a lot of distractions in there. There were a lot of things that had, for those first 21 years, and I'm going to admit that even beyond that, there were things coming into this body through these gates that were distractions, that took my attention off of my first love, my true first love. There were all kinds of things. At times it was my career. At times it was my wife. At times it was my kids. At times it was my church service. I don't know. It's all kinds of things that over my journey came and distracted me from my first love. It was like that. So my earliest memory of my heart being opened that way was in first grade. Are you laughing at me? Now I can't even tell what time it is. What is it? There's a clock back there. Is that what that red thing is? Sir, if I had a prize, I would give it to you. I do have some Cracker Jacks in my truck. So my earliest memory of my heart being opened in that way was in first grade, when I expressed my perceived love, in the awkward, dumb way a first grader might do it. I was made fun of and embarrassed, and that was by the teacher. I then ridiculed myself like that for 50 years. That scenario and others played out in my life many times after that. Many, if not most of those, resulting in more lies and damage being done. They just kept piling up. One on top of the other, rejection, unworthiness, shame, comparison, anger, poor self-esteem. When those encounters would happen, those are the types of things that would result. Many vows were made related to those painful encounters. Even trauma became associated with that gate of first love. And it's so rampant in our society today. For many of us, our lives have allowed other things to rest in that gate. I believe this can be the result in belief systems taking shape that distort our ability to believe who He says He is to us and to believe who He says we are. It challenges that truth of who He is. Personal belief systems like God helps those who help themselves. He would never love me because I am so awful. I am a good person. God has to love me. I'm always rejected. I don't deserve to be healthy. All of these crowd out the truth of who He is and who you are, who I am. They will distort our perception of the truth. I heard an amen way in the back. Thank you. Again, this was a chart that builds. So, gate of first love. This is the place of the connection and intimacy with God. So what might we expect to be there? The first one was who He says He is to us. That should be in that gate. Who He says He is to us. So who is he? Just a few samples. He says, I'm Lord God Almighty. He says, I'm the Lord your shepherd. I am the Lord of righteousness. I am an everlasting God. He says he's the Prince of Peace. He is the Messiah. He's Lord. He's the Lion of Judah. He's Adore. He's Emmanuel. He's a high priest. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lamb of God. Those are the things that we can expect to rest in that gate. His spirit to our spirit. The fourth block. Who he says we are to him. Who he says we are to him. Here's a good one. He says, you are accepted. He says, you're secure. He said, you're significant. He says, you can be free from condemnation. He says, you're beautiful, unique, loved, special, created for a purpose, cared for, lovely, precious, important, forgiven, a new creation, protected, empowered, chosen, and family. You are mine. Those are the things that we want to see resting in that gate. That's who he says we are to him. I had a bunch of logs. Although I knew that, I knew the scriptures and my relationship, my experience with my shepherd who had come to lie down with me in the sheepfold since I had been born again, I knew many of those things. But so often I would be distracted by these other things, these other logs, these other lies, even the trauma that was associated with that. So, in the beginning, I mentioned about extravagant manifestations and extravagant worship. I think it's timely. It's no accident that this class is aligning with this season at Capstone. And the things I'm watching in the Spirit, God is drawing close. The things that have been churning, the things that have been happening, those are not by chance, those are not by accident. It's the Spirit of God that is pursuing you. It's the Spirit of God that is moving and shifting and rearranging. It's the Spirit of God that is coming to bring about His mandate for Capstone, for His mandate for each of you. So this opportunity, all those other things are important. My emotions, my revelation, my intuition, my ability to hear and see, those are important. But for me in this season, the most important thing in my life is for me to know who He is and for me to know who I am. When it gets too complicated, I just look and I go, I look into the face of Jesus and I go, that's who I am. That's who I am. That's who the Father is. I'm a son just like Jesus is a son. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. It's not complicated. Those things, those logs, all of that stuff can make it that way and get us distracted. So, this gate of first love, this place of connection and intimacy with the Spirit of God. Oh, look at that. That was my alarm. I'm right on time. I used to get so bent out of shape and nervous about things like that. And now, oh well, it's fun. My wife, and I told this to the class, I love my wife, she's beautiful, wonderful. Amen. I like that. We've been together for 37, almost 38 years now. And over the last 4 or 5 years, as I've been walking through this revelation with Jesus, she said, this revelation about the gates of my body, my soul, and my spirit, and the fact that Jesus and I can go in and through repentance begin to remove the things that have landed there, through the blood of Jesus, cleanse those gates and remove all of that stuff where I no longer mix that with revelation of Jesus coming out of me. When I release the glory of God, it's not that way as much as it used to be. She says, that has changed me more in the last few years than the previous 30. And she knows me better than anybody else. She's seen it. I'll just say that. So, tonight, here's the question. Would you pray with me about this gate in our lives? It's just a question, and it's a choice. We're going to press through. If Holy speaks to us about it, and it's always by faith in Jesus. Everything we do is in and through Jesus. So Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for being here to train us and to teach us. The cross is a place where we bring our stuff and exchange it for His resurrection power, freedom, and life, right? Yes. I bring my stuff to the cross. And He never gets tired. Revelations 3:20. If anyone here opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. Jesus is knocking on that door, that gate of first love. And I'll say this again at the end, but this is not a one-time thing. I have revisited and revisited and revisited. It's just like over time, 10 years ago, I looked into Jesus and I said, oh, you're so wonderful. I understand this. Look at this. This is alive. Oh, it's amazing. 10 years down the road, I look at that same scripture and I go, I didn't know that then. I know it now. Because as we walk with Jesus, the deeper we go into Jesus, that truth becomes greater truth, deeper truth, richer truth. So He doesn't just knock on the door once. This is an ongoing walk. And by the way, the handle to that door is on our side. It's a choice. He'll continue to knock, 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 knock. So, for those of you who are kind of a little bubbles floating around, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. So bringing a thought captive is not to throw it away and deny it, that it is in us. If it's inside of us, it will influence everything that passes its way. I understand whenever those things come, we've been taught to resist. We speak the word. We rebuke. We do all of those things. They're valid. They're real. They're truth. It's Jesus. Okay? So we continue to do that. But as revelation comes and Holy Spirit begins to show us a greater truth, a deeper truth, we can deal with them like this. I don't believe every thought like that that's in us, but I do believe many are. That's been my journey. They are. Could it be that there's something else sitting in that gate competing for your attention, for your first love? Wasn't mine. Okay, so here's the little exercise. Do you recall the things that you wrote down in that list? In your mind, on your phone, on that little piece of paper? The names that may have come to mind, the faces, the events? Holy Spirit, could it be that some of these, some of those, or even others, are still sitting in our gateway of first love, distracting us from you, taking away from the revelation and truth of who you are, who we are. So Jesus, we bring these people in our minds that you've reminded us, that you've spoken of. We bring these people, events, images, and thoughts into the light. Jesus, we don't push them aside or ignore them. They are in us, Lord, and we acknowledge them, and we bring them to you, Jesus. Because see, this is training. This is training. So don't be surprised that things pop up, names pop up, faces pop up, memories pop up. This is what Holy Spirit does whenever we're training. And when you go home, that's how you do it. It's just like that. Read. Okay, so I'm going to walk us through a prayer. We did this in the class. I gave the class. We prayed through the gate of our imagination. It's so powerful. I'm almost convinced it's necessary to have faith. I have scripture that shows that. So we prayed through that, gave them a template. This is work. You have to do it yourself. Nobody can do it for you. It requires you spending time with the Lord. So we're going to read through a prayer. If your heart is in agreement with me, grab it. If not, it's okay. You're a powerful person, and you can be there, and the Lord will continue to rest on you and draw you and woo you until you're able. So you ready? Father, I enter the courtroom of your presence. Father, today I expose this pathway of my life, this pathway of first love. I present what I have struggled with to you in the courtroom of God. Father, I confess it as sin. I command every demonic influence and attachment to that part of my life to be revealed in the courts. Jesus, you are the high priest of my confession. I thank you that you forgive me and that your blood now covers me to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, all iniquity, and you cause it to pass from me. Father, I release the mandate of God to bring judgment to the demonic things that have been attached to my life in this area, and I let them go. Now, Lord, in Jesus' name, I take the victory you have given me here. Every record of my actions in this area, these memories, these images, these names that have sat in that gate of first love ever since I was born, ever since I knew, I request that every record be brought into heaven and be burned by your fire. Father, today I terminate every written, oral, verbal, and any other communicated way that has been recorded against my life. It is written, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from the record of the sin against me. Lord, today I take the blood. I cleanse that record. I decree it is finished in the court of God. Father, I lay hold of the victory. Lord, as I step away from your courtroom, I bring the victory back to the earth, and I release it around me in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I invite you to come and fill the ground in that gateway of first love that is now free. I desire to know you for who you are and to know who I am as you have said that I am. Amen. Amen. So, going forward, the message says, but let me tell you, even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground without shame, knocking and waking all the neighbors, he will finally get up and get you whatever you need. That's in Luke. Talking about going after his neighbor because he needed something, because somebody came at night. The Lord says, here's what I'm saying. Ask and you'll get, seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. As you press into this prayer relationship of healing, I encourage you to press in, even at first, if you don't feel like you're making progress. Keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. He will open the door. When and if you start hearing that your will, say things like, I don't need that, or I don't want that. You may have already heard that. I'm going to suggest to you that everybody does. Look at Isaiah 14, 12 and 14. Maybe that I is coming from another place, somewhere else. It may not be the one we want to listen to. We can check that with the Lord and see. Our will can be opposed to the things God is doing in our life. As I said, this is a lifestyle of prayer and not a one-time event. My journey, my truth, these are not things I've read in a book last week. These are things that I have been walking in my private time at home, just me and God, for a number of years. And the demonstrated fruit is evident in my life, not because I say so, but the people that know me say so. The demonstrated fruit in my intimacy with Jesus. desire Jesus, that intimacy. I wanted to see his face. I wanted to hear him, smell him, taste him. I wanted him so bad. And for 30 or more years, it was like there was this distance between us. And that has changed. And this has been a big part of that change. It's not a magic serum. It's not a formula. It's relationship. It's all about relationship with Jesus. So I encourage you. We're going to give you copies, those of you who are in the class. We're going to make copies of the class, and you will get copies. I encourage you to take this and begin to, as the Holy Spirit leads you, put your desire out there. Build your faith. Jesus, I want to walk with you through the gates of my body, my soul, and my spirit. I want to remove the distractions that take my eyes and my heart away from you. I want you to be my only focus. So, I bless you. Father, I thank you that you are bringing each one of us into that most intimate relationship with Jesus. Jesus, you are so kind and so good. You stay before us. You are so wonderful. You are so lovely. Thank you for not leaving us like we are. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your mercy to gently walk with us through healing, through restoration. And we bless you, we honor you, we adore you, and we give you, Jesus, all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Did I forget anything, Suzanne? No? Nope, there it is. We have about 3 minutes. Question.
R2.
Oh, I thought you had one. If you have a question, I will try and answer it. I don't have all the answers, but I will try and answer you if you have one. And it's okay if you don't. Okay, so, what's your name?
Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. Would you mind if I say something to you? Is that okay? When I looked at you, I saw a flag land in the middle of you. And it was the same flag, the same picture. It's an American flag, but it's the same picture of the flag that you see whenever they show the flag on the moon. And I'm not quite sure of all what that might mean, other than it seems to me that there's been a journey. There's been a journey that has allowed you to plant, that has been planted in you by the hand of God. And I'm not trying to say that you are not an American. You didn't come from here. You look like you might be Hispanic or what? No? Okay. So politically incorrect these days. But that helps me. But I just see this American flag going boom, just like that, in your life, being planted by the hand of God. So maybe that's an identification of who you are. Maybe it's an identification that you belong. It could be that's an identification signaling the end of a long journey. And it seems to me that just watching and looking through that, that there have been a lot of people around you that have been working with you. And it could be also, don't you love those clarifiers? Wouldn't it be better if I just said, hey, God said? But the minute I say that, it takes all the grace away from her. She either has to accept it or reject it. That's the way I think. And so unless I've been with God somewhere and he says, it's very rare for me to say, God said. Remember, this is training, prophetic training. So, what's your name again?
Jennifer.
Mm-hmm. I bless you to find your identity. And I want to affirm in you that there are a whole host of really smart and great people that not only have pulled together to give you that identity, but I'm going to suggest to you that you are going to be able to bring that identity to many others in a foreign land. No questions? I don't want to be politically correct. I don't want to offend anyone. I just don't. Jesus was a heretic. I don't want to be that. Okay. Well, I bless you. I thank you for your attention. I honor you. I truly believe that the hand of God is moving on this body. And things are happening. Your heart, your desire for who he is, your heart and your desire to move and bring the kingdom of God to the earth, your heart and your desire for each other is growing. And I just see it growing. I see the connections happening. Lord, I bless those connections. I bless those connections within this body. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.